Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and we'll be with you for the next hour with our guest on this January the 7th on the West Coast, January the 8th, early morning hours on the East and in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to the show. So nice to have you with us, and I've been very busy today trying to respond to hundreds of emails that I've gotten from folks that were listening to the show last night. And you need to know the archives are on the way. Those of you who have not heard them and are asking, so trust that the moment I have them, I'll be sending out a few notices to folks that you can check them out at bbsradio.com. Well, so much to talk about tonight. A lot of news all over the world, and I guess there's no one better to have on the show than my publisher and editor from the Idaho Observer, Mr. Don Harkins. Don, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thanks, Don. And it's always great to be talking to another Don, for one thing, but it's good to be on the show, and it's really timely for me because we are right now attempting to grab out of the maze and mass of things that are happening and churning in the world today an editorial perspective that we can condense into our 24-page monthly publication. And it's always been a challenge, but when I started this business, it was a challenge to fill pages, and now the challenge is to figure out what can fit in them, because there is so much happening.
Mm-hmm. I've been working on sort of a multidimensional level for the past couple of months, and you and I have had a few opportunities to speak off the air, and I've been following the news in a sense, and then in another way, I'm not even paying it any attention to it, because everything is just so chaotic and spun by the media. And so I value what you bring to the table just because of your approach to handling the news, to disseminating the information as truthfully as you can discern. And and I know how you inspect my work before you'll print a word of it, so I trust that you do the same with everything else. So this is going to be very enlightening to our listening audience tonight, and I'm appreciative of the work you do.
Oh, well, thank you very much. No, it's, I think in essence there is a slim demographic of people in this country and throughout the world, and it's nothing new. I think we've always been here, independent thinkers who are more principled in their decision-making processes than they are responding out of fear or self-interest, or otherwise known as greed. And we attract one another. We find ourselves family wherever we go. It doesn't matter what language we speak or where we are. We can see each other wherever we travel in the world. And when you have a newspaper, I'm fortunate and honored to be a magnet for like-minded people. And really what the Idaho Observer has evolved into is a forum for independent thinkers. None of us were born with this information. We're all growing and learning and struggling to grab, if you want to call that, editorial perspective, even for our own lives as we get up the next day and try to make sense of it all, maintain our dignity, and enjoy our life as much as we possibly can. And it's getting increasingly difficult to do that, but it's important that the Idaho Observer stay in print, and it's important that people like yourself and people all over the world contribute to it. It's important that people read it, because we are all growing and learning, and it's important for whatever the next phase of this journey on the temporal plane is going to be, that as many of us as possible have a very solid grasp of current reality and the historical context within which it's come forward over the last couple millennia. Because it's the regular media presents the news as if all these things just sort of pop up out of a vacuum, and our readers understand, we understand, that what we're experiencing today is really the result of an unbroken chain of events that predates the birth of Christ.
Yes, and you know, in while you were describing the media, what went through my mind is that if I can bring myself to turn on the TV, and of course I have to plug it in to do that, because I even unplug it, if I plug it in, turn it on, and tune into one of the news channels, or sort of scan what they're talking about in general, what I tend to arrive at, the conclusion I arrive at, is that I might be watching the wrong show. I may have Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader on, which is this show hosted by Jeff Foxworthy, where they bring up an adult and ask elementary school questions about history and science and mathematics and whatever topic. There's not much difference between what the mainstream media is putting out these days and shows like that. And it's a sad state of affairs when people aren't really paying attention to anything that's going on. And yet, on another level, many who are, I'm saying the masses aren't paying attention, but many who are actually working on solutions, because they're not going to get them from the media. You're not going to hear the truth from the mainstream. As you well know, we've talked about this on your past visits to the show, as well as privately. They just cover everything up. Their intention is to obfuscate fact, obfuscate history by distorting the actual causes of wars and the outcomes of the wars, and they're doing this with the economics of society on a worldwide basis. But what I do notice is that the things I've been writing about have come to pass, or they have been very accurate. I actually posted part 5 of the Three Stooges before it even hit your newspaper, so I just felt that the information had to come out, and it's proving to be extremely accurate on many levels. People are coming out of the woodwork to support that research that I put out December 18th, I think it was. So,
well, I'm even seeing it here on this end. Rather than people emailing or writing or calling us to say, you're all wet on this one, boy, there's nothing to support that, and I've got evidence to the contrary, the people who do respond are adding little bits and pieces of information that are supportive and boosting the stories, the research that you've been doing, rather than undermining it. And that's of course rewarding in the perverse way that we must view the world if we're in print at this time. But it's important that you follow these hunches and you're fearless enough to go with them, and just make sure that you've got your facts lined up and your intuitive sense isn't off kilter in any way.
Yeah. Well, it's about printing the truth. It's about, you know, revealing it and sharing it with others, because we must at least recognize what is going on if we're going to create a new reality. And that's been the theme on this show for the past 2 months. We've literally discussed how we can accomplish that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I find it so phenomenally ironic that going all the way back to the late 40s, early 50s, when the 3D movies came out, and then there was Sense Around in the 70s, and all this time people are always struggling to make sure that, or to maximize the realness, the reality of their entertainment, while they are doing whatever they can to make the real world around them more distant and unreal. I just find that to be just so amazing. And so the media that we have, the corporate media, the dominant media, is catering to people's desire for their news to be entertainment and their entertainment to be news. It's just really a bizarre set of circumstances, and now we have the latest development and all that coming down the pike, and that's the HDTV changeover from analog to digital coming up next month, and the enhancement of images and sound reproduction so that people's fiction can seem more real. At the same time, people are really struggling to not pay attention to what's really happening in the world today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could take your initial statement here a bit further. They are telling us, well, this is what people want to hear. This is what people want to see. That's just the repetition of the Hegelian dialectic. You repeat a lie often enough, people start believing it. I don't ask them for anything other than the truth as far as what I feel the mainstream media should be reporting. They choose this idolatry, this illusion, this worship of movie stars and entertainers and celebrity, and it's all ego-based stuff. It's all based on this principle of the heart mind or the mind heart, making one think that the emotions and their feelings are in their thoughts. You see, that is very controlling. If you want to control a person's feelings, you make them think about their feelings rather than just feel their feelings in a spiritual sense. So this is just ramped up mind control. All it is, it's propaganda. It's senseless. It's meaningless. And I find it hard to understand why people would pay to have this, if you get my meaning.
Yes. Well, you know, at the same time, we live in the age of wireless, quote, convenience, and people are busy communicating on their wireless phones. They're playing with their wireless toys, utilizing a variety of wireless conveniences, and they use the wireless internet. And while they're paying fees and expanding the demand dramatically for all this wirelessness, the infrastructure is being built out at a very phenomenal rate, and the frequencies, spectrums to which we are all being subjected, and that's the elderly, the middle-aged, the children, the infants, and the babies still in utero, is damaging dramatically, and yet we do it anyway. We are so addicted to our wireless conveniences that we're willing to destroy our genetic integrity in the process. And now I realize that a lot of people aren't aware of that. We've been publishing that material in the IO. But it would be kind of the same thing, wouldn't it? People are paying for this kind of programming, for this enhanced programming, and they do so just recklessly and carelessly and irresponsibly without understanding that with these technologies comes some rather severe detrimental effects, and we're only seeing the beginning here. I think most of your listeners, well, most of us that are, say, over the age of 25 or 30, will remember in Gulf War I, we were preparing for this major ground assault, and all sorts of casualties are being predicted. We were going up against battle-hardened Iraqi troops and the Republican Guard, which was like the Waffen-SS in Hitler's day for Saddam Hussein. And we're stealing for all this and getting ready for it, girding our loins, as it would be, militarily speaking, and getting the public behind this effort. And then all of a sudden, hundreds of thousands, well, at least 125,000 Iraqi soldiers threw up their hands and surrendered, began surrendering. Mm-hmm. And this was before I was aware of what was going on in the world, and I remember just thinking at the time, God, why did they do that? And then just going on with my life. Well, I think almost everybody remembers that, and many of your listeners are probably at least at 101 conspiracy level at that time and suspected something like a high-powered dog whistle was going on, and it turns out that they were delivered messages that they could not avoid through the FM frequency that the military was forced to listen to after the coalition forces had destroyed Saddam's military command and communications, command and control communications network. So what in essence happened is that they were forced. They couldn't do anything but stop. And so they gave up. And these same silent sound frequencies are going to be coming in through the HDTV system once we switch from analog to digital. So the opportunities for silent subliminals to be coming into the homes of America via HDTV are, I mean, you can imagine that Big Brother is not going to be able to resist the ability to do that and will start fairly quickly. But the other side of that is that even if we don't convert to HDTV and we just shut off our TVs or just start replaying all those old movies that we hadn't seen in a while instead of doing the digitally enhanced programming, it's still going to be affecting us, albeit not as directly, because those signals are going to be ambient in our environment and the receptors in our brain are going to be picking up like little antennas. So aside from myself, I don't have a cell phone, I don't use a wireless internet, and I really resent being subjected to that secondhand smoke on steroids, if you will. But when HDTV happens, I suspect that it's going to be difficult for any of us to avoid the suggestibility that's going to be coming through in silent digital signatures.
Yeah. Well, one must wonder now if that's going to be a phenomenon that's going to be picked up on the internet. It could be already, just because of the nature of digital technology. I can tell you this from many years ago. This is probably a good 15 years, maybe even 20 years ago. There were some subliminal tapes that I was listening to that have these encoded messages. And the brain can process, I think it's something like 18 billion bits of information a second. And so if you can layer or create a bed of these messages at an unconscious level, in other words, your ears, your physical ears are not really picking it up, but it operates on a frequency that your brain picks it up and goes into the subconscious. So you're talking about Montauk technology here, and you would listen to these tapes, let's say, for motivation or for developing some solution or remedy for a psychotic experience that you might have, or subliminal fears, those types of things, to make you become a successful producer in your business, say for sales. They create these programs for people that want to excel in management or exceed in sales or creativity, those types of things. So to make a long story short, while I'm listening to these tapes with headphones, I noticed that I could start hearing in the background, underneath the sound of the waves, the messages that were being said. Of course, they're at a different frequency than what we speak at, or what you would listen to if you were listening to books on tape or something along those lines. But I began to understand the nature of the programming and actually learn how to tune into it instantly. And I noticed this phenomenon occasionally when there's a film where there are explosions going off, or a jet, the sound of a jet or an airplane or a train, something that makes noise. They like to embed these frequencies in the noise content. And if you look at the number of films that have violence, what are they doing psychologically? They're numbing us to violence.
They're numbing us to all of this chaos and this insanity, almost like we should expect to see this when we look out our window someday or open our door. And it's happening already all over the world. We're hearing countless reports of that. So there is a lot of truth to that. One can just decide, well, do I want to be completely mind-controlled or do without television? It's all illusion anyway. Why pay for the privilege of being mind-controlled and brainwashed? Your words are taken to heart, let's say.
No, it's really something. I don't understand myself. I think we all probably have our vices, and we don't always do all of the things that we should. In fact, I think based upon what we know about how we should lead our lives, we probably get up every morning and have that cup of coffee when we shouldn't, and all these things that we do that are maybe not as good for us as we could be doing for ourselves if we followed our intuition instead of our habits. But, you know, there are some things that are worse than others, and being paid to have your physical body destroyed and your brain programmed is not in it for me. And even so, you go back to the words of Dr. Jose Delgado, University of Yale Medical School, back in the 60s. He's the guy that in 1964 or so proved that he could control a raging bull with remotely. He felt, like many of these guys do, that humans do not have the right to program their own brains, that others who know more are the ones that should do the programming. And that's really something. That places animals and humans into the same category in the minds of these monsters as machines, and he factors out of the equation the fact that we have souls. And what I believe is a fact that we have souls. And these are the guys that are seeking to control us, are the ones that believe that we don't have the right to, quote, program our own brains. These are the people also that are at the top end of government instruction, otherwise known as public education. So, wow, it's a mindset, and I believe, should be in charge of controlling, programming our own brains and responsible for our own behavior.
Oh yeah, I mean, where do they get off on nominating themselves as the programmers? You know, I mean, we get into these issues of sovereignty and spiritual authority over our own lives, and just everything they're doing is in violation of every universal law. Forget about the 23 million that they've created. I've said this often on this show.
Right.
It's just another demonstration of the warped, psychotic minds that are running the world. And we can choose something else. Now, I know you wanted to bring up what's going on in the Middle East. None of it is really being reported honestly. And I suppose we can leave the mind control of America and go into the world aspect of the mind control.
Well, yes, this is a situation that is rather personal to me. And it's amazing, actually. A lot of the things that I'm finding myself most sensitive to right now, as our world is unfolding at this very accelerated rate, are things that I was made to see a long time ago, before I even knew how the world really worked and what was really happening. And one of them is I have a couple of different times in my life before being a troublemaking journalist, have been exposed to or come in contact with some Palestinian people. And in this way, I just got an insight into the Palestinian plight. And now that it's unfolding as it is, and unfolding is not even the correct term. Let me see if I can put this in the proper terms so that the one or two politically correct people who are out there listening might be able to understand. Right now, the Israelis are prosecuting their final solution on the Palestinian people that they have concentrated in encampments behind walls with dogs and guns and soldiers and checkpoints and razor wire, making sure that they don't have the things that they need to survive well or thrive at all. And this has been ongoing now for several years, and it's reaching a peak, and they're really working on exterminating these people. Now, why is it that it's not okay to question what happened during the Holocaust? Why is it okay for the Israelis to be doing this to the Palestinians when it wasn't correct for Hitler to do it to the Jews? There's a double standard here that really, really bothers me. And when you understand what has been happening to the Palestinian people since the State of Israel was created by UN resolution in 1948, I really don't find any other authority for the State of Israel to exist other than a series of primarily two UN resolutions from 1948. And even under those resolutions, Israel, the state, not the Jewish state, by the way, Israelis keep wanting to be recognized as the Jewish state, and that's not what it was created to be. It was the State of Israel, and a lot of displaced Jews after World War II were to go there. There were already people living in the area, primarily Palestinian people, and under the UN resolution, Israel was to, one, adopt a constitution, and two, find a peaceful way to deal with the Palestinians in the same region. Neither one of these things have been done. Believe it or not, Israel does not have a constitution, and it's probably the only westernized state in the world that doesn't have a constitution, and it also is not dealing with the Palestinians peaceably. What it's been doing is systematically concentrating them into smaller areas. You can see maps of this progress online. Just Google Israel maps 1947, and you'll see a series of maps that shows the shrinking amount of territory that the Palestinian people have been able to live in. And not only are those areas shrinking, they're called the Gaza Strip, which is where most of the hostilities are ongoing right now, although it's been ongoing in all three areas, which is the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan Heights. And these three areas are completely encircled with fences, high-tech fences, that are guarded. There's checkpoints everywhere, and everything that goes in and out of these areas is checked by Israeli soldiers. And so we have to wonder why these little pop bottle rockets, comparatively speaking, that the Israelis allege are being fired at them are coming from, since you can't smuggle aspirin in the vaginal cavity of a Palestinian woman without it being found. So besides the wall itself is not just a wall that follows some kind of an intelligent line. It goes in and out, and it does things like grabs wells, it grabs fertile ground, it grabs mountaintops and militarily strategic areas, it grabs nice areas, and while this is going on, the Israelis have been moving in and building settlements in deference to a variety of peace agreements and peace plans and accords that have been brokered by various people in the world, including the UN, over the last several decades, at least since the 1967 war. So what we've had here is a very, very systematic process whereby the Israelis have been defying the only justification for their existence, as far as I know, which is UN resolutions, and have been engaging in an ongoing attempt to exterminate, or actually put the Palestinian people into a position where they can be exterminated. And while the world twiddles, while the UN says things like, we sanction the Israelis, and while the U.S. and the Western media in general still blames Hamas for breaking the treaty or breaking the peace by firing pop bottle rockets into southern Israel, these people are being destroyed. And I resent anybody who takes a position to the contrary. I'll go to the mat with anybody on this subject. And the truth is that the biggest humanitarian crisis in this century is ongoing right now. And until people start putting Israel into a position that it will not survive its current extermination, its current genocidal agenda against the Palestinian people, those people will not survive. They'll be wiped off the face of the earth. And for the U.S. government, and that's the Bush administration and equally Barack Hussein Obama, is betraying the Palestinian people for some greater Israel agenda, the creation of a Jewish state, and the whole world is hanging in the balance of it.
Yes, and it's quite ironic. I'm not really changing the subject here, but I want to enhance what you just said.
It's okay. I feel better now, Don.
We have this Muslim president-elect who's claiming he's a Christian, who Barbara Walters outed recently on The View. Now, I don't know if this was today or earlier this week, but it was pointed out to me by Dr. Kasim Khalil, who was my Monday guest. He's the author of Wrongly Blamed and many fine books about the truth of these race wars that they're creating. And she's emphatically lets it out that Barack Obama is Jewish, at least on one side of the family. Now, who would that be? Where in the Payne name would that be? Or where in the Dunham name would be someone who is Jewish?
You mentioned that to me before we came on the air, and I think you have quite a bit more just working knowledge of Barack Obama's background, at least more than just about anybody I know. What is your theory on why she could make such a statement and back it up in facts and evidence?
Well, because that's probably going to come out in the next week or week and a half. I'm going to predict that's just a cue to prepare us subliminally for that. Why would they have Barbara Walters on ABC television make such a statement on a show probably watched more by women than anyone else? Just to get that word out there, because women will talk to their husbands and say, oh, by the way, you know, Barack Obama is Jewish, according to Barbara Wawa. And that's going to be just more trivia for people to put away. It's, you know, he went and kissed the Wailing Wall.
Wearing a yarmulke.
Yeah, exactly. So this just reinforces my research. It the conclusions I drew in part three, parts three and four, and then later in part five in the Three Stooges Go to Washington, have just been gifted with all this information. I'm made out to be somewhat of a prophet, and I don't say that egotistically. I took a stab at some very difficult issues, and I can tell you the merry-go-round is spinning faster and faster. Don, we have a call. Would you like to take a call from a listener?
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Okay, we have Terry from Michigan on the line. Terry, welcome to Evident Footprints. I don't know if this is male or female, so we'll find out in a second.
Guy.
It's a guy. Do you have
a
question?
He sounds rather masculine.
Yeah, well, these days you got to be careful, you know.
All right.
Welcome to the show, Terry. Do you have a question or comment for Don Harkins?
What you guys are talking about, you're right on the money. You're the first ones. Or am I slow?
And are you talking about you're talking about the situation in Gaza?
Everything.
We work on it. We're just trying to grab truth out of the ethers here and make sense of this life that we were born into and were not adequately prepared for in kindergarten.
Yeah, until people wake up, it's, my God, you're the only one that understands what's going on.
Well, no, I thank you very much, but that's not completely true. There really is. We have a subscriber base of people that know, and there are a lot of people out there doing work in various fields. Some of them are, their knowledge is rather limited to their field of expertise, but I think an awful lot of people are really beginning to develop a pretty good holistic, if you will, understanding of what's going on in the world today. So, be hardened, my friend. We're not completely silent lone voices in the wilderness. There's you, and there's lots more of us out there. We just got to find each other and boost each other and strengthen each other so that we have the resolve to stand up for what's right.
Yeah, you don't even realize. Take a look at the U.S. government.
I prefer to not do that very much because I don't like what I see. Unfortunately, we're all rather, the U.S. government is hitting everybody in the face one way or another, so we have to.
They're all Jews. They're all Jewish lizards.
Well, in a sense, we actually like to clarify that a bit, maybe say they're Zionists, because they're masquerading as Jews.
Okay.
And that's an affront to the real Hebrew people, the Israelites.
Well, and even in the Gaza issues and the ongoing activities of the Israeli government, there are a lot of Jews in Israel who are absolutely opposed to what's going on, and they are about as powerless to stop the activities and actions of the Israeli government as the American people are unable to stop the actions of their own government. So it's difficult. We do need to give credit where credit is due, and we need to call the proper spades, whatever that it's appropriate to call them. But we definitely have to be careful about I'm using a lot of cliches here. The wideness of the brushes that we paint people with. Because I do know that there's several different groups of Israeli citizens who have been demonstrating for years and have organized and are opposed to what's going on. And also, when it comes to business, whenever the government doesn't step in to absolutely block it, Jewish, Israeli businessmen and Arab, Palestinian, or Syrian, or Jordanian businessmen conduct business. And it's just when the governments get involved and try to pit us against one another that the things get difficult. But I want you to know that I also aware that there is a lot of people inside of Israel that are completely opposed to what's happening.
Yeah. You take a look at their DNA features, and you find that they have a very high forehead. You know, their hairline. And
mine's getting higher, too.
Huh?
Oh, I think everyone's is.
Because of fluoride and chloride. But other than that, take a good look at their their face, their features.
That's pretty generalized, too. There's some very Western-looking people who are Israeli.
It doesn't matter what color they are.
And it's a very deep subject, even biblically, that the term Jew or Israel and Israeli. I'm not sure if Israeli is
really technically
Bible,
it's called Lutheran.
But there's a But there's a lot of different definitions and a lot of different ways that those words are expressed, and we just have to use them correctly so that we don't confuse ourselves or unnecessarily malign others.
Yeah, this is we're not saying it's the people, the general populace in these countries that are espousing all of this violence and this chaos. It's the small clique of the military industrial complex that is internationally connected to the international what Michael St. Clair likes to refer to as the reptilian banking system.
Right. That is correct.
So, you know, all you have to do is look at what's happening economically around the world and the amount of corruption and outright theft that is occurring. You know, there's some $25 trillion that made its way to Israel fairly recently, within the past few months. And
you know why?
Christopher Story and I have reported on that. And it's just like water under the bridge. Nobody pays attention to it.
You know
it's
why they need the
just international money laundering.
Hello?
Yes.
Do you know why they need the money?
Well, we could spend several hours on this.
They need
actually
a linear collider. I'll tell you point blank.
Were you speaking about the
no.
The Atom Smasher in France?
No, that's a toy, and it's in Switzerland. No, CERN. Switzerland. No, they need a linear collider. Straight line, 2 miles. And they don't have enough money to build it.
Well, I don't know how many trillions one would have to spend to create that, but once they created it, what would they accomplish with it? What do you think?
A black hole.
I'm sorry?
A black hole.
Well, yeah, that's come out quite a bit on the show. I don't know that we're prepared tonight to go into that, Terry. You know, not to dishonor what you're saying, but, you know, we'll... We'll
but
try to bring that up on Friday's show with Jim Murray.
You're right on the money, though. But I just thought I'd give you a heads up on that. But, yeah, all this is on the Wave series. I can shoot you the link. Well, I'll get off the line.
Well, you send me an email, if you would. I'd be interested in looking at that, and I'll address that topic on Friday Night Show with Jim Murray.
Okay, and you're Don, right?
I'm Don.
Hey, and I'm Don, too.
And
well,
we have Don Luce at BBS
to,
Radio,
right
so this
track.
Is one of those nights where we have three Dons.
Well, I'm a Terry.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, and look forward to your email, and, you know, please call in again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll keep listening to you.
Okay. Thank
you. Going down a straight road.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
All right. Bye now. Well, Don, there you go. Someone is getting the message.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's something. One of the things about being in print, and by the way, this month will be the beginning of our 13th year. That's, boy, if you'd have asked me if I'd have thought the world was going to be around for another 13 years back then, I'd have said you're crazy. But here we are. I'm, God, 7 more years and I can retire, Don. Yeah, it's a joke. My retirement plan is woefully underfunded at this time, I believe. But, but what you realize is that the words are power, and each one and every character and piece of punctuation is important and vital and has meaning. And when we use the language, I think on the radio we can be a little bit faster and looser, I suppose, but in print, because things stick around for a long time, you've got to be a little bit more precise. And it's important that we get our ideas across, that we maintain the ultimate in integrity and honor, and that our intentions remain beneficent to mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And and we've got to really sift through the stuff and try to make sure that what we're doing is accurate and that the guilty are condemned for what they do, but the collateral damage should be minimized as much as absolutely possible.
Yes. Now, I've been, occasionally I listen to some Patriot radio just to see where the mean consciousness is, because all these people who are Americans, and now the Canadians and the Mexicans are being drug into this because of this secret plan to create a North American Union. The Canadians seem to be paying more attention to our demise here in the United States than we are.
Yeah, surprise.
And we're also, we're not trying to say, well, these people are right and these people are wrong. We're recognizing the oneness of humanity here. And the people that consider themselves privileged to lead us and program us and to tell us when to jump and when to sit down and when to go to sleep and when to eat and when to give up everything we have worked our whole lives for seem not to represent the rest of us. And still, they are part of us, which is really the dichotomy in action. And it's way out of balance. It's way, way tipped to the negative or the dark side.
No, it really is. And that's really the other aspect of what we're doing here. We're and even you too. We're not just dooming and glooming, and we're not trying to frighten people into any kind of activity, except we are trying to inform people in a way that will strengthen them to give them the resolve to stand up. And I just can't imagine a more noble purpose for our words and actions to strengthen our people, because this is a worldwide traditional fundamental flaw in the common man, is to be given to lies and deceit that make them fearful and cowardly. And I just am tired of that. I don't want this cycle to repeat anymore. I want people to be worthy of the respect that they believe that they deserve, and they should stand. And we need to help people, encourage them to do that, and not frighten people into awaiting Armageddon or the next shoe to drop or whatever other cliche we want to throw into the conversation right now.
Yeah, that's more of the fear-mongering anyway, as far as I see it. It seems like every time the mass consciousness of the inhabitants of this planet reaches a higher vibration or a higher plateau, we're handed a whole new set of evolving circumstances that were really planned all along. And this is what we're trying to point out to people, is that whether you believe this is happening or not is really not the issue. What we're offering is information from our knowledge, from our experience, and the things that we ourselves are learning. And if you consider these things important, then investigate them yourself. Do a little bit of research. Subscribe to the Idaho Observer and see firsthand what we're talking about. I encourage people to visit my website, because I feel that I'm creating a repository of information that's as truth-based as can possibly be. Now, I may make mistakes, or I may make miscalculations or misjudgments, but those are based on my observations and an overwhelming amount of information and conviction that what I've discovered is accurate. The color might not be the same, or the volume might be greater or less than how I present it, but nonetheless, the core, the essence of the information is accurate. That's what I know about your paper. That's why I approached you about writing for your paper. And after you'd seen my work several times, you began to trust that I knew what I was talking about. Well, we're offering this to folks so that they can look at the reality that we've been given and make a different choice. And the disgust and the anger and I have 1,000 adjectives that I or nouns that I could describe all the feelings that well up in people when they think about all these things that are going on in the world. Yet there's the majority of people are oblivious to all of it, and it's a sad state of affairs for humanity after the millions of years that we've been evolving on this planet. And despite our obfuscated history, so
well, you know, and that is really something, and that is kind of the core and the essence of what I've identified myself as the fatal flaw of the common man, and what I'm attempting in my little way to begin the process of reversing, and that is there is nothing unusual about the contemporary American experience and avoiding the unpleasantness of reality. And even though the same warning signs have happened in just about every westernized civilization that has come before us, you know, the economic stuff, the advancing tyranny, the shrinking civil liberties, the incessant war, the public debt, I mean, none of this stuff is brand new. The common media at that time and even to present would have you believe that this is all new and interesting and it's all popping up out of a vacuum, and who could expect? It's like 9/11 was an unexpected and unprovoked attack, right? Well, people can believe that, and they will believe that because there's this in apparently innate desire among the commoner to preserve for themselves the luxury of being surprised when everything falls apart. So they're able to pretend that everything is okay. They're able to pretend that the advancing demise of the economy and the crunching of jackboots and all the other signs that their social cycle is about ready to come to an end again isn't really happening, so that when it actually does, for the, you know, 15,000th time in Western history, they can be surprised. And then when it does happen, they can respond accordingly, usually out of fear and self-interest, which is what's, you know, preventing them from responding now, as far as that goes. And we've got to stop that. We've got to see these things coming. The founders of this country saw them coming, attempted in their way, I think, to insulate us from it happening again. Some of the founders were probably a little bit less virtuous as we think they were, but a lot of them were pretty darn good guys that really wanted to preserve freedom for the common man, and we've blown it again, and I want our people this time around to learn so that we can perhaps teach our children not to be so stupid next time around.
Well, you used a key word in your first sentence, the word pretend. Isn't that what the basis of illusion is all about?
That's true.
In the movies, we pretend. In cartoons, we pretend. We pretend when we get a prescription or when we go to the doctor. There's a lot of pretension there. There's a lot of pretension in our personal relationships and in our families and in our communities. And, of course, you know, the government has to pretend, because if they didn't and we saw the truth, if we knew what was actually going on, we would be so outraged that George Bush's prediction would come true. I'm speaking about Senior, where I'm paraphrasing his statement, as probably everyone has, but if the people ever found out what we have done, they would lynch us in the streets. So there's a lot of truth in that statement, but he underestimates our ability to discover who we really are and come up with even maybe a more appropriate solution.
Well, you know, that's true as well. I see wisdom in that, and I and I definitely see that they're right. There's been comments throughout history where these guys have admitted that, boy, if everybody caught on to our game, they'd really be bummed. And so it's time that we catch on to the game, and it's time that people are not so fearful of it. It's time for us to not be so unprepared. It's time for us to stop allowing the government to educate our kids. It's time for us to stop allowing corporate, greedy, mind control change agents from programming our brains. It's time for a lot of things to change, and I think that we're about to, looking at the old socio-political clock on the wall, I think it's coming time where people are going to be confronted with the errors of our ways. And the difference this time, I really, really hope, is that with the communications advances that we've had, that people will actually learn this time. And they'll have it fresh enough in their memories that we can teach it to our kids and their kids, their kids, and on down for several generations. And we can throw this this horrible, horrible cycle off and defy the laws that have governed the interaction between the common man and government since time immemorial.
Mm-hmm. You know, Don, in our closing minutes here, I want to say that there are those, and rightfully so, in a spiritual sense, in a metaphysical sense, when you put your attention on these things, you attract them. You attract the very reason or the very purpose for which they were created into your reality. You help them come to pass, in other words. And
right.
We've been talking about that on this show for the past two nights. We had such an interview with Michael St. Clair last night for 2 hours that just, you know, totally used up our bandwidth. on the network, it was heard around the world.
Good.
And the feedback was such that people know that you can't pretend that these things aren't happening. You have to at least acknowledge it. Are we going to spend the rest of our lives sitting on the couch with a bag of potato chips and a six pack of beer while the kids are screaming in their dirty diapers and mom is out shopping, trying to spend the money before the government takes it away, and not realize what's coming down the pike? This is something that we have to be prepared for, and that's really the bottom line, is where is mankind headed? And you know, I want to let you close out with your thoughts on that, as well as give out your contact information for anybody that would like to subscribe to the Idaho Observer.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You can check us out and what we've been doing online. It's much of what we've done is archived there at idaho-observer.com. Also, you can give us a call if you'd like during ordinary business hours, preferably, although we're kind of a 24/7 operation here because there's just so much happening. But the number is 208. The entire state of Idaho is still area code 208-255-2307. Again, that's 208-255-2307 and idaho-observer.com. And really, you're right about intentioning. And I do have intent, and so does my wife, Ingrid, a really marvelous woman. We're just an excellent partnership. And what we really want is quite simple. The struggle has never been between blacks and whites and Jews and Christians and gays and straights and any other, you know, that's never been the struggle. The struggle has always, forever, been the elites against the commoners. The ordinary people that just want to have a decent life and a safe place to raise their kids versus the people that want to control everything in their sight or everything they can. And so we need to recognize that, and I want our fellows to be strengthened to where they can withstand the exploitive tendencies of the elite types, and I really want this world to be a better place. I want families to be preeminent. I want decency and justice to prevail, and I want freedom for all men. And so we go forward into the next, this next year, 2009, seems to be shaping up to be rather a doozy. And I don't have a lot of outward hope that this is going to be a painless process. But I do believe in the end that decency will prevail, and all of my hopes and dreams are going into that thought.
Well, well said, and I want to extend a happy new year to both you and Ingrid. Give her our best.
Okay.
And you did a great job tonight, but I still miss having her on the show.
I understand, and I'll tell her that she was missed, and she is a really marvelous creature. God didn't ever breathe life into a more well-intended and sometimes rather brutally honest person, and I'm just honored to have her as my friend and lover and partner and fellow troublemaker.
Well, you know, you're always welcome to come back. And in light of how things are sort of being ramped up into overdrive within the past few weeks, actually, if you hear of something worthwhile for the listening audience, something that needs to get out, please contact me and let me know, and you know, we'll bring you on for an update.
A cameo.
Well, I don't know if cameo is the right word. Did I say cameo? I was thinking
cameo. No, I
cameo,
did. So. I just love the word. It kind of really rolls off the tongue nicely.
I almost said cameo, and I thought, well, let me not be so theatrical, but you did it.
And I fell for it. I wanted to be theatrical, by golly.
Well, just as an update, I guess, can your readers expect to see any part of Part 5 of the Three Stooges in the next edition of The Observer?
Well, I believe so, because we're going to be working a little bit with the Bush legacy, which is, on one hand, it's enough to make you want to cry, and on the other hand, it's just a scream from a satirical point of view. And we have a letter to the editor from a guy who said that, finally, the only thing that Bush has done in his entire 8 years in office is about to happen. He's about to leave it.
Yeah.
I just thought that was, you know, magnificent in its simplicity. And so, yes, we're about to, Obama thing, I keep thinking, in fact, tomorrow is the day that Dick Cheney, the Vice President of the United States, is part of the presidential electing process, which is much more involved than I think any of us ever really thought it was. We've just paid more attention in the last couple elections. But I think tomorrow is the day that he formally presents to Congress the results of the Electoral College vote. And I believe that's one more parliamentary opportunity for something different to happen. Whether it will or not, of course, is not too likely. And then on the 9th, the U.S. Supreme Court will have its weekly conference, and on its docket for things to discuss and cases that it may or may not hear will be another Supreme Court challenge brought by Attorney Phil Berg. So we'll just have to see how that plays out as well. I mean, it's just the dice are definitely loaded. God, more of these cliches. God, we've been rattling them off just one after another tonight. And just have to see what happens. But it's important that everybody be as apprised of what kind of a monster this Obama person, this person that we know as Barack Obama, is going to be.
So
I guess that was a long way of saying, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. A rhetorical question on what you just revealed regarding Cheney. Is this going to take place in the House, or you know, in other words, in the Capitol building, or at Bohemian Grove?
Well, I believe that the formal presentation, with all of its usual pomp and state circumstance, would be delivered per some sort of statutory obligation at the House assembled. and but obviously some other types of presentations in a formal, I guess, albeit different sort of cultural setting, have probably been at various places, like maybe the grave the Skull and Bones place, the Bohemian Grove, and probably various other locations throughout the world where such ritualistic desecration of everything it means to be decent take place.
Okay. Well, thanks for answering that. That was a difficult question.
I've been rather verbose this evening, so I just took you on a trip with that one.
Yeah, that's what came to mind, so I had to ask the question.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Well, keep me updated if you would. Just shoot me an email when you hear about that. I'm doing so many things right now, but I want to thank you, Don, for being on the show, and let us know if anything is developing of importance, and you can have that cameo.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. I was shooting for the opportunity to be told that I could have that cameo.
All right. Well, you got it. Okay.
Hey. All right. Well, thanks again, Don. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Same here. I'm going to say goodnight to the listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Don Harkins of the Idaho Observer. Please pay their website a visit at Idaho-Observer.com. Or call area code 208-255-2307 during normal Pacific Coast or West Coast business hours, and help support them. They're in their 13th year, and they're bringing the truth forward. Special thanks go out to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, the listening audience, you for tuning in. I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.